Forrest Fenn had it all. The Santa Fe art dealer had crafted the perfect life. After spending nearly 2 decades in the Air Force and emerging from Vietnam a decorated fighter pilot, the restless Texas boy in him had yearned for something new. So, largely on a whim, Fenn had hitched a trailer behind his truck, hauled his wife and his young daughters, Zoe and Kelly, off to New Mexico, and struck out on a new career as a dealer of art and antiquities, despite knowing little about either subject. But he had charm, and he had flair, and he wasn't afraid of hard work. So by the 1980s, Fenn had established himself as one of the Southwest's preeminent art dealers and a true man about town in the rarefied, moneyed world of Santa Fe. He hobnobbed with politicians and counted celebrities like Robert Redford, Suzanne Somers, and Gerald Ford among his clients and friends. He lived in a sprawling, walled compound just outside the downtown and worked out of a palatial gallery right by the state capitol, whose guest house had hosted luminaries from Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis to Steve Martin. When he was feeling real nice, he let visitors take a sip from the brandy bottle Jackie O left behind. In 1988, he was 58 years old, still in the prime of an exciting and unpredictable life. And then he learned it was all about to be taken from him. Cancer. A big, angry tumor embedded in his inferior vena cava, under his right kidney. Doctors weren't optimistic. They gave him a 20% chance to live. 1 in 5 odds? As a man who had stared death in the face repeatedly, both over and in the jungles of Vietnam, those numbers didn't sound particularly good to him. Fenn did what he could to process the blow. For a few weeks, he let it soak in, allowed the reality that he was probably going to die to wash over him. Then he got mad, indignant even. Why did he have to go? Who said? Nobody had asked him. The moment it boiled over, he was in the study of his home with his friend Ralph Lauren, the famed fashion designer. Fenn's study was a magical place, a floor-to-ceiling gallery of artifacts, valuables, tomes, and curiosities from his travels. One piece, a Native American bonnet covered with ermine skins and carved antelope horns, caught Lauren's eye. Believing his friend was not long for this world, Lauren wanted to buy the piece from him, give it a new home. But Fenn wouldn't sell. Lauren, exasperated, told Fenn he was being crazy. "Your time here is short, and you can't take it with you," Lauren declared. "Well then," Fenn shot back, "I'm not going." Lauren laughed. They moved on. But later that night, lying in bed, Fenn had a revelation. What if he could take it with him? Just a year earlier, his father, Marvin, a school principal whom Fenn revered, had passed on, had taken his own life, actually. Marvin Fenn had been diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer. He'd been given 6 months to live. 18 months later, the resilient Marvin told his son Forrest that it was finally time for him to go. Marvin was going to take 50 sleeping pills that night, he said, and that would be that. Forrest pleaded with his father to wait. He had a plane, he said, and he'd fly up the next morning. The father matter-of-factly told the son that by then, it would be too late. It was. Rather than being upset, Fenn saw wisdom in his father's controlled exit, saw it as a dignified way to go. Fenn liked the idea of taking charge of his own departure, but he also liked the idea of taking it all with him. What if, he mused, there was a way for him to do both? An idea started germinating in his head. He would get a chest, fill it with valuables, gold, jewels, artifacts he'd collected over his years in the art world, and seal it up tight. It would be a real-life treasure chest. Then he would write a poem, more of a riddle, really, containing 9 distinct clues in consecutive order. If the clues were solved perfectly, they would lead the finder directly to the treasure. But this treasure map in a poem wouldn't just lead to Fenn's treasure chest. It would bring the reader to Fenn himself. Fenn planned to take his chest to the special spot identified in the poem, take pills, as his father had, and quietly leave this world. Eventually, he believed, someone would solve his riddle, and there they would find him in his eternal rest, his sun-bleached bones, and with them, his treasure.